Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Folks, we welcome you to Hope is Alive, and we were having a little static problems last time on the previous program, and we're going to sure pray against it. Brother Ralph, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I'm doing well. And, well, let's pray against this static. Well, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and as we just heard our brother say, Lord, we know that we have been given all power and authority. And so we tell you phone lines function properly. Static, be gone in Jesus' name. We command you to operate the way you were designed for the glory of the King of Kings. And if this is of the enemy, we tell you, enemy, you may not operate here. We come in the name and power and authority which is greater than you, and that name, power, and authority is Jesus Christ. And having been washed by his blood and having our names entered in the Lamb's Book of Life, then we have that power and authority, and we say, enemy, you may not operate here tonight. You may not operate on the internet. You may not operate in these phone lines, so be gone now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ralph, I'll let you pray, or ask you to pray if you would.
Amen. I'm just going to add amen to that. That was a fine prayer. I can't think of anything more to add to it. Lord, we just glorify you in all things, and that this is the enemy, we do forbid it from happening. And Lord, we just call down tech angels to work.
Yes.
To work and fix everything right. We just thank you, Lord, and glorify you that we just have the ability in Jesus' name to do these things. But most of all, we glorify you that you've given us this technology that we can come together.
Yes,
Lord. Across the country in different parts of the God's creation to fellowship and testify and do the wonder, talk about the wonderful works of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, folks,
amen.
We do appreciate you tuning in. We, by myself this evening, Pastor Cox again has had some personal business, so he won't be able to join us. Hopefully next week he will be with us. But we do have a couple of callers that will be calling in. We have one brother that has been a longtime member of the ministry who came out to Oklahoma City and was went through deliverance himself and got trained and has been working with fellow brother Howard in Alaska, and they have been being the deliverance duo up there in Alaska. But Brad was ready in season and out of season, and was called upon in Branson this year to perform deliverances when needed, and he did. He stepped up to the plate, was ready as when asked, and we're going to have one of the men that he went through deliverance with on in the latter half of the show. His name is Robert, and they're going to give their testimonies and talk a little bit about what they experienced in Branson a couple weeks back. And we are grateful that we have learned these things, and it's just a fantastic, wonderful works of Jesus. And then kind of prompted me on the prayer meeting, I was going to talk about exactly what they talked about when they talked about Elijah and Elijah. Because one of the things that just came to my mind as I was reading those, I'm just a little bit behind in my Bible reading. I got behind in Branson, and I've been trying to get caught up. But one of the things that came to my mind was all the many, many, many miracles that happened, especially by the hand of Elijah. When he prayed for that double portion, it certainly came to him. But as I'm reading these, where an iron axe head floated, that is just an amazing thing right there. And even more amazing for the man who lost it, because I think he was concerned about not being able to pay it back to his master and possibly go into slavery. So that was definitely deliverance for that man who had lost the axe handle, or the axe head. But it reminds me of, if an axe head can float, then certainly Jesus can walk on the water, and Peter did for a few minutes as well. But the thing that is really comes to mind as we read these things that Elijah and Elijah did. They both raised people from the dead. They both did just many, 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 many miracles. But what comes to mind is they did this without the power that we have, the access we have today of the cross, because Jesus gave us all, as believers in Christ, those that are walking in the body, those that are baptized, believing Christians, were given these powers. And Jesus said, greater things than these you will do also. Greater things than these you will do also. And Jesus did things that were just like what we read in the book of Kings, that Elijah and Elijah both performed. And he said that Christians would do greater things than these. And I just want to give thanks to the Lord and just praise his holy name that he gave us that ability, and that we are finally, as a body of believers, starting to walk in his authority and really understanding, because we are witnessing things like this. We're witnessing healings. We're witnessing demons being cast out. We're witnessing all kinds of things. And it's just amazing. I get more and more excited, because I think for the first time in my Christian walk, we have a caller there.
Richard? No, not yet. I'm sorry to interrupt you. And actually we do have a caller now. I see it ringing. But this again, this James 5:19 tells us Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, but his prayers were answered. His prayers were answered, and you know we see that we're beginning to walk in that. So, well, let's see who we have on the caller. Good evening. Welcome to Hope is Alive.
Hi, this is Brad.
Hey, good evening, Brad.
How you doing?
We are doing well. Welcome, Brad, to the program.
Yes, Brad, thanks for joining us this evening.
Yeah, you bet.
Brad, as I was trying to lead up to a little bit of what tonight's show is, if you would you please give your background, how many years you belong to the ministry, and trying to give your background on that, and what led you towards deliverance, and some of the experiences you've had and seen the changes in your life since deliverance, and if you'd like, some of the things that you have done before we have Robert come on, and then we'll have Robert do the same thing, and you guys can talk about the deliverance process you did together.
Okay, well, let's see. Started with the ministry.
Now one thing, Brad, you probably need to have the phone a little further away from your mouth. You don't want to be too loud for it. Too loud or too close.
Okay, I have some headphones on. How is that?
That's a lot better. Yeah.
Okay. I think I started about 2010. I used to get letters from Jack Moore, and he he introduced me. That was a long time ago, and I just didn't really take to it back in about 96. But so it took me a few years to get dialed in. And as far as Scriptures for America went, and then I'm still hearing static. How's that doing?
Yeah, it's that's pretty good there. Pretty good on this end.
Oh, okay, good. I had received healing through Jesus on my gut, and that was about 2015. And from the book Christ the Healer, you know, the stuff that leads you through. And so right after that is when I saw that Everett Cox's book came along, and I took right to it, you know, and it made a whole lot of sense to me. And so I went, I was trying to get down there. I was headed down to Houston, and so Oklahoma City's not very far from there when you're coming from Alaska anyways. And I tried to get down there, but it just didn't work out. But so they pointed me over to Charles Kraft in California, because I had been staying over there a little bit. And so I got trained up with him and did a little bit of deliverances and just on my family. And then it was not really until I met Howard, and he, you know, showed me how pretty easy it is to do it Everett's way. And because you have a field manual there, and it's just, he just read it right out of the book, and it worked real well for me. And I got a lot of peace, and it just kind of helped me to, it emboldened me to be able to approach other people with this. And so I've been able to deliver some friends. My wife, I know a lot of people, a lot of the women, they're pretty hesitant about it, especially with their husband. But my wife did it, and she was just set free. She done real well. And a whole lot of forgiveness came, and like a 30 years of bad blood with her stepmother was cleared away. And that kind of happened after the deliverance session, and something that the Holy Spirit had showed her during the session, and then she took it to her stepmother afterwards, and it just worked out really well. She should tell the story sometime, but I'm hoping to do a deliverance on her stepmother here soon. She's coming up for my daughter's wedding. I've worked a little bit on my son. He had some panic attacks, and he's done a lot better now. And friends at work, we didn't do it at work, but I had a friend, he had bad anger issues, and he was in with the Mormons. That was his only baptism he had ever had. And he actually, his head demon manifested, and it was pretty hair-raising. He told me his name was Lucifer, and that right there, it threw me right off, and I think he was able to escape, or I don't know what happened there, but we couldn't get him called back up. And it didn't really matter, because we just went through the list and cast everything out, and he was set free really well too. Has had a lot of peace.
So Brad, I guess maybe I haven't really communicated with you as well as I thought on some things. You were familiar with deliverance before you came across Pastor Cox's book. Is that correct?
Well, that is when I first saw it. That's, you know, I got the book from Scriptures for America. And as well as some of the things that Pastor Peters had said. And so that really opened my mind to it. And then, I was trying to get down to Oklahoma City, because I had that book. I had gone through some of the online stuff. And I couldn't make it down there, because I had to get to, I had a time limit to get down to Houston. And So they pointed me, one of the people at Deliverance Ministries office there pointed me over to Charles Kraft, because I asked them if they knew anybody in California, and they said, you know, there's this guy in Southern California here, and they said that they had learned a lot of their technique from him, so, you know, fine, and that worked out pretty good. He teaches really well the inner healing part, and so, and a lot about what's going on there, the memories and how demons attach themselves to the memories, and like the demons are kind of secondary. If you heal the old memories, or help the Holy Spirit too, then the demons, they don't have the garbage to feed on, and you can kick them out a lot easier.
They're
very weakened by that time.
It definitely takes care of the legal rights when that trauma, whatever that trauma is when someone's younger, is dealt with, and it's easier to cast them out.
Sure.
I know that from the training that we receive, they talk about that if you can get them through the breaking of the ungodly soul ties and inner healing, the rest is just a piece of cake. So,
sure.
So how long, Brad, have you been involved with Scriptures for America?
I would say since 2010. I can't remember exactly. I had a friend that has passed now, but they had years of DVD searches, and so started watching them and really took to them by that time. He was, Pastor Peters was talking about frequency and spirits and just all kinds of stuff that other people don't talk about, and I started understanding those things, and it's about 2010, and that's really when it's, I had read some of the stuff off and on over the years, but that was when it really, set well.
For some reason, I was thinking a little longer from our conversations, but I, sometimes it's hard to remember when you're talking with people who told you what, who told you this.
A lot of people.
But, yeah, there's a lot of people, and we had an opportunity to meet with Brad a couple of times, and it's that's quite a haul coming from Alaska. So I do appreciate
nice
you
trip.
That you've taking the time and the sacrifice to do that. But so
it's really fascinating.
Have you seen
every deliverance is different,
yeah.
And you know, it's just. You know, what's going to happen this time? doesn't always go by the protocol that's written in the book, and so it's just really neat to see what happens.
Was there anything that was you would say that before your deliverance that was really a problem area in your life you want to share that's not there anymore?
Well, one thing is that is just my ability to approach people and talk to people, and never really been a people person. So, being in a person's face or them being in mine, that was kind of no good there, and that really helped me with that, and maybe different fears and nervousness and that kind of a thing.
That seems to be a common testimony with people that before deliverance they were real hesitant and nervous to share the gospel, and afterwards they seem to have a little bit more boldness than
that's where the one friend where the head demon manifested in him, you know, he said he had been complaining about his ankle. And so I made up my mind, well, I'm going to go and see if I can anoint him and pray on his ankle today. And so I asked him about it that day at work, and he says, oh, my ankle's all right, but my side's hurting real bad. He said he thought he had his appendix was going out or he had a hernia. He said that was the severity of the pain. And so I said, well, you know, and I lay hands on it and pray over you. And so he went for that, and he said it burned pretty bad for about 5 minutes after that, and then it was gone, all gone. And we both just praised the Lord, and that kind of opened the door for deliverance, and we've got him baptized the right way since. So that was a really good
praise
deliverance.
The Lord. Praise the Lord.
He's up there in service with us.
Now, have you found that I would say with me in the past, when it came to my witnessing, I was more argumentative, wanting to prove my point with everybody, and then after deliverance, I seem to have more compassion and more understanding and be able to reach people in a way that wasn't so combative. Because it seemed like in the past, my witnessing, I just wanted to argue. And I think the first time in my life, and the first thing I really felt in the first time in my life, my Christian walk, that I'm finally reaching and helping people as opposed to arguing and condemning them when they can't see my point of view. And I'm convinced now that it was a spirit that was preventing me from doing it. It was a self-righteous spirit that I had upon me.
Sure.
But also, I think it was a spirit that was trying to prevent me from being effective.
To put up with their side, and you know, then I think through that also you can see a little bit more tact on how to, you know, how their thought process is going, and they're able to explain things in a way that they understand.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, not always.
Well, that's fantastic that you've been working with your family, because Pastor Cox has told me that it's not a easy thing to get your family to go through with it. It's easier to get strangers.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
And
you don't
want
to
have your wife come on sometimes.
Somebody that knows you so well.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more than that. It happened with Jesus when he went to his hometown. Everybody kind of looked at him and said, wasn't this Joseph? Isn't that the carpenter's son? It seems like you don't have enough honor. And a lot of times with your family member, you can tell them something. They look at you like you're an idiot, but then this guy that they don't know comes over and tells them the exact same thing, and they're the experts. So praise the Lord that you were able to get through to your family. So,
yeah, you bet.
Now, when you were in Branson this year, how many deliverances did you sit in and participate?
Two of them.
Okay.
Two of them. Yeah.
All right. And
was the most spectacular.
Yes, I can't wait to have him on. I had a chance to talk to him quite a bit the night before his deliverance, and I've had a chance to talk with him afterwards. But I think he's going to tell some pretty neat things, because here we are. Both these people, folks, that are coming on for the testimony are people who were long-standing Israel Identity believers that understood and know the Israel Identity truth, but they had not experienced this part of the ministry work, which is part of, just as much as the Israel truth is part of the gospel, so is the casting out of demons and casting out of spirits is part of the gospel. So these are all things that are there in Scripture, and I just think it needs these two men of the church,
and you know, it's hard to deny it once you've done it and seen it, witnessed it, been set free from doing it. It's hard to go back, but still,
Brad, I believe we have Robert on the line. Robert, are you there?
I'm here.
Good evening, brother. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I'm actually I'm excited to be able to share my testimony with the, you know, with all our friends and brothers across.
This is what we're going to kind of do, is just kind of, if you want to give your background into Christianity, maybe how many years you've been involved with Scriptures for America, and talk about that, and then talk about what led you into the deliverance, your deliverance process, and the changes you've seen. Just kind of let you go, and then Brad, since you were there with him, I'll kind of let both of you just take the reins there and give us the testimony, brothers.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ralph. I guess my background in Christianity, in 1998, I was at a pretty low point in my life, and I called out to Jesus on the back of a Greyhound bus, and asked him, I just asked him for two things, and that was to show me who he was and to change my life. And that day, that night, the next day, the changes began, and they were pretty overwhelming and immediate. Like I tell people that I had an experience with Christ in 1998. It let me know that He was here and that He heard. However, at that time, I didn't know anything but the Judeo-Christian religion. I wasn't calling out on a religion, I was calling out on Christ, and He heard me. And so, of course, not having the foundation that, you know, Scriptures for America and other Israelite Christian messages have, you know, there wasn't a focus on the law, there wasn't a focus on repentance, there wasn't a focus on some of the things that are pretty integral to the faith. And because of that, I feel without that foundation, there were some tragedies in my life, and that seed was yanked up, and I kind of went by the wayside. And eventually, I ended up in prison, and I was it was 2007 when my mother died while I was in prison. My father had died just before I went to prison. And I kind of called out to God, and I asked Him to do the same thing, you know, to continue to show me who He was and change my life. And I was tired, and, you know, my mother's death kind of reminded me of what Jesus said when He said, you know, about the people who had died in the accident at the tower. You know, He had said, you know, this should, you know, these people's death, it wasn't their fault. It should just remind you to get right with God. And I was kind of at my wit's end. I'd been studying for years, and there were some questions that I had and that couldn't be answered by any pastor that I talked to or any other Christian. And I had about five or six questions, and I was at the end of my rope when a guy, another man in prison, came along and handed me a book called Yesterday, Today, and Forever, God's Chosen People. I mean, by Ted Weiland, God's Covenant People. And I read that book, word for word. I looked up every scripture. I hungered to know God, and I looked up every definition and every third-party resource that I could get my hands on. And when I did that, when I really sought God, He did. He showed me who He was again, and I realized my heritage as a son of God. And that was when I began to become involved with the Scriptures for America ministry, at least as a listener and a learner. And when I got out of prison, and this is leading to Branson, but when I got out of prison, of course, I didn't have anything, and didn't know what I was going to do, and didn't really have a lot of support. And didn't think there was really any out there to be had, you know. There was a time in my, you know, as I was, my wife was trying to get me into the Judeo-Christian church and things like that, that I was just sitting there thinking, you know, am I the crazy one? And I would have no part of it, but I wasn't doing the things I was supposed to do as a man of God, and therefore my wife and I were drifting apart, and I was kind of putting money and making money for my family as the first things. And my daughter and I and my wife, we went out to Arizona. And, you know, it was when I, you know, had spent some time with my oldest daughter for the first time in a long time. I stepped away from work for a couple weeks to take this trip. And we went and climbed Vulture's Peak in Wickenburg, outside of Wickenburg, Arizona. And we had such a great time that I began to contemplate moving to the mountains. And I got my wife to come out to Colorado, and I said, you know, at that point we were, it was seven, 8 months ago, we were doing pretty bad. Our marriage was suffering, and I said, hey, you know, let's take a vacation, get away from all this keeping up with the Joneses and all this stuff, and let's get back down to the basics and, you know, think about where we want to go. And we were in Colorado, and I was reminded of Scriptures for America ministry, and I hadn't, I honestly had not been doing what I was supposed to do, or even listening to the ministry via online radio broadcast. But I have been talking to my wife about the truth and about the true message and for years, and I finally got her to visit Colorado, and we decided to come by Scriptures for America and see if maybe that wasn't our place for now. And we were invited to go to Branson.
You didn't mean to go there.
No, we kind of led there, you know. And my wife and I went, and we were asked to go to Branson. And quite honestly, the morning we were supposed to leave, I believe our marriage and our spiritual walk and our entire family was under such attack that we were almost going to send a text to Richard and let him know that we weren't going to go. And at literally the last minute, we got in the car and made that decision to put the spiritual things first. And when we got to Branson, the changes of heart, the changes of mind, it was about sanctification. The Branson meeting was, and during the midst. I'm sorry?
It was a spirit-filled meeting, that's for sure.
It was a spirit-filled meeting. When you set yourself aside for the tasks of God and you put the first things first, things are going to happen. And that's what we did. And it was Brad who was talking in one of the men's meeting, maybe the second or third day I was there. And he talked about how he had gone through this deliverance, and how the spirit of anger and some of these other things had just kind of went away. And I was reminded at that time, of my wife, a year before telling me, Rob, until you get right with God and do what you know to do and put Him first. And this was a woman who, was in the same place I was, but, God was speaking to her. She said, nothing's going to change, nothing's going to get better. And just about a month before we came to Branson, she said, Rob, you're not the same person that I met 6 years ago. She said, you're different. You're bitter, you're angry, and you're all these things. And so I was reminded of that when Brad was speaking, and I came up to him after the service that morning, and I asked him about deliverance, and I really wasn't acquainted with deliverance at this time, even as a part of SFA's ministry, but I was curious and a little bit skeptical, but I knew I had things that were wrong in my life, and I knew that I had things that might even be plaguing me, and Brad and I talked about a lot of those things, before the deliverance began, and addressed a lot of them during the deliverance. And I didn't know what to expect. I'd heard stories and other things that have happened earlier in the day, and although I was skeptical, I did know of course what the Great Commission tells us, and what it the signs that say would follow. So of course I just took a step in faith and decided that this needed to be done, because the first deliverance that I ever experienced was actually in 1998 when I called out on the name of Jesus, and He did deliver me, so I knew it was possible.
Sure.
Told
you that power there.
I'm sorry?
Told you that that power is there.
Absolutely. Absolutely, no doubt. And, after we had gone through the deliverance, the only significant thing that I can recall in the entire time is that I really did begin to feel a peace come over me, and maybe even
kind of
confidence.
Floating and having that peaceful feeling like that.
Just knowing that, yeah, exactly, and just a peaceful feeling and a confidence that everything was going to be okay. And it's funny. I woke up the next morning and was going about my daily routine or my morning routine as much as possible, and you know, like I said, I've been a little bit bitter and a little bit angry for a couple of years. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, it was the greatest thing in the world. She came up and she just wrapped her arms around me out of the blue and said, "Daddy, your attitude is so great today." And I just, you know, it just blew me away. Because I wasn't trying, you know, it just was. And
you can see it on people's faces right after deliverance, the calmness and the peace.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And so that's you know, in addition to that, you know, we talk about deliverance from the spiritual, but, you know, you don't hear so much, you know, I know that we do in this ministry now, but, you know, the body body that's sick, you know, we don't hear a lot about healing. But, you know, for the last 5 years, maybe six now, since I got out of prison, starting about 3 months before I got out of prison, my back began to hurt. And my back hurt worse and worse and worse as the years went by. And it was somewhat debilitating by the time I went to Branson. I used to spend an hour, 30 minutes to an hour in the shower each morning, just, or in the bath, just laying down, soaking my back so I can get ready for my day. And then at night doing the same thing. And just toughing it out because I don't take pain pills and I don't, you know, do all that. So, one of the most amazing things, I didn't even want to say anything the next day because I just thought, oh, I'm having a good day. But it's been two, Ralph, how many weeks has it been since Branson? 2 weeks now? Seems like forever.
I think we're coming up on almost a month now.
Yeah, about 3 weeks.
Almost a month. Okay. Well, I'm going fast here, man. But almost a month and I haven't felt one twinge of back pain. Since I went through that deliverance. So I'm walking around right now on, you know, pacing like I used to on the phone, and, you know, I wanted to sit down before, and then you sit down and you're uncomfortable. And the only way I could really be comfortable was just laying down. And of course, that's, you know, I mean, that's debilitating. It takes a lot of things from you, mentally, spiritually, physically.
Sure.
That has been dealt with and healed in the name of Jesus.
Well, here's one thing I want to point out that people can probably see, that pain you were feeling was directly associated with your spiritual well-being.
Absolutely.
I can say just about every man that I've talked to that's gone through deliverance, this may be something that those who know the Christian Israel truth and knows what goes on in this country and knows the evils and the wickedness, when we see things, there seems to be a spirit of bitterness and anger in all of us that it's just there.
That's right.
The stupidest things just make you angry, and that's a spirit that's been upon, I think it's really prevalent, at least the men in our ranks, because it seems to be a common theme with every man I've talked to that's gone through deliverance, that's come through Scriptures for America, talks about how angry they were all the time, how angry. Now, we may not have saw it because when we're around each other, we're on our best behavior, but our family certainly saw it. And our,
that's
and
right.
Our family can
and they
say
suffer.
Something, especially your little daughter, saying the difference in you. And I am just convinced that our physical problems in a lot of us are directed directly towards our spiritual well-being. So this is just a fantastic testimony. Keep going, brother. Keep going.
You know, just I'll tell you that some of the other changes that I've experienced besides the healing in my back and, you know, basically just an overall spiritual well-being. I'm starting to be able to do the things that I've been supposed to do. As my family's concerned, you know, it was just a little while ago, you know, I've been praying with my daughters every night, and we've been talking and teaching and playing, you know, the Psalms on YouTube as we listen and stuff in the truck, but, you know, the Bible reading, and I was, the Bible reading's been slack, and I was, you know, it was just maybe a week ago that my daughter came up to me with the Bible in her hand and said, "Hey, can you show me where the book of Proverbs is?" And I was immediately convicted, you know, because my daughter's 8 years old and she should know what the Book of Proverbs is, you know. So we started on that, and then we started reading the Psalms on the Bible reading plan and trying to catch up there, and as well going through the beginning of the Bible and hitting the highlights and the promises and the covenants and, you know, all of that good stuff, building, you know, again, just trying to catch up to where we should be as far as her knowledge goes. But, you know, that's been happening in my house for the first time in a long time. And, you know, I think one of you were talking about, I think it was you, Ralph, you were talking about the inability to really reach people, you know, because of pride or arrogance or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I've been trying to present this to my wife in a very unpresentable manner for years. Yeah. And for the first time in years, you know, I mean, she was sitting in church the other day, and John was preaching, I believe, again on sanctification, kind of reiterating the message that he gave at Branson. And my wife, you know, tears just started rolling down her face. And usually when tears roll down her face, she's angry with me, you know. So I thought, you know, oh no, what have I done? You know, she's thinking about something that I've done or something that's made her angry. And so at the end of the service, I asked her, I said, you know, what's going on? You know, how do you feel? You know, why the tears? And I got the most unexpected response. And she said, you know, I don't know what it is about John, but the way he explains things, I just really identify with it, and I was crying because I was being convicted on the issue of sanctification. And and then last week we went, and she came back, and we were talking, and I was about to start talking about whatever topic we had been on, or maybe something that struck me as significant in the sermon, as far as how clear I believe is the second message by Pastor Peters, how clear the identity message is in the Bible. And my wife just looked over me with the biggest eyes and the biggest smile, and she said, "It is so clear." She said, "It is so clear." And I was like, "Oh wow," you know.
Yeah.
And it's just been
a blessing.
Step-by-step thing. It's changing, you know, a lot of things here at the house, and that's where it starts. And, you know, one of the things we've been talking about is baptism, you know, because she was baptized when she was 13, and it's, I think Pastor Peters talks about cognitive dissonance, you know, and that racking of the brain that happens when you're asked to do something that's contrary to what you already believe. And, you know, that was really kind of becoming an issue in her mind. But she talked to Richard, and when she was done talking to Richard, we talked about a week later, and I said, you know, what do you think about us, you know, doing what Leon in Missouri had suggested, which was going through deliverance together and possibly doing a baptism afterward. And I think that we're real close to that point. So, like I said, just a lot of things to be thankful for. I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful for the deliverance. And I was reading over Isaac's story today, and you know, a lot of times we skip over Rebecca, and she was given the same promise as he was, that her offspring would become tens of thousands, and that they would possess the gates of their enemies. And you know, we have kind of, our gates have been besieged for a little while. And it occurred to me that the gates, well, we weren't going to hold those gates and secure those gates. And, you know, as Christians, until we dealt with the spiritual aspect of those gates and cast down those strongholds and start to make this church well, because just like in our individual lives, you know, whenever my faith in the supernatural or belief in, you know, certain things has waned, that ugliness always comes out. So if you don't believe that there is a spiritual being out there who does not have your best interest at hand, and who is actually your enemy, and who actually controls these principalities and these powers and the evil forces of this world, you know, if you don't believe that, you become a much easier target. And you know, so I'm thankful for the deliverance message that we're actually going to go out there and we're going to attack those gates and we're going to take those gates back, and that's going to change everything for us, not only spiritually but in the physical realm as well.
Are you going to branch out into doing your own deliverances?
I don't know what I'm going to do yet, brother. I'm going to start on my family and, you know, be and ask God to use me wherever He can. And, I, you know, as I guess as a part of the Great Commission, we're all commissioned to deliver those who are, you know, bound in spirit or need healing. So I imagine I will.
Good deal. Yep.
Well, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Absolutely.
And set the captives free, and there are many forms of captivity, and it appears that one of the captivities that was in your household was destroying your marriage. And,
absolutely. There's no doubt. And I really believe that if I hadn't ended up in Branson like we were supposed to, that it would have ruined everything. It would have been another low point in my life, and it would all started with.
I don't know if you remember, but during your deliverance, the destroyer was one of the bigger categories that you had more demons coming out. Mm. You had tons and tons of yams coming out of there. So I'm sure that's what it was.
Oh no, I think I do remember. Remember at what point was the most intense for me. I remember one point my whole face went numb, and it wasn't very hot there, or it was pretty cool in the room, and I got, you know, I kind of broke out in a sweat, and then it was definitely, there were some physical manifestations going on, and but I do remember that the destroyer was one of the big ones, you know.
Well, Howard and me could tell that things were happening because you were just yawning an extraordinary amount. And as soon as we would start commanding those demons to leave, your mouth would just poof, pop open, and yawns were coming out and explained to us that it was working. You don't get that on everyone.
Is everybody still on the line?
Yeah, sorry about that. Sometimes the connection's a little.
Oh, that's okay. Well, the kingdom is order. And for there to be order in our homes, first and foremost, there has to be order in the men's life. And it is very, very hard to be in order when you're tormented constantly with anger, lust. These are two big things that hit men all the time, and these two are the things that I've heard time and time again with men, and that they don't seem to have that patience and understanding they need to deal with their helpmates. And I'm convinced that we become one flesh when we have our house cleaned up, our vessel cleaned up, the demons, and those are cast out of us, that it makes a major difference in our marriage, especially with their wives, because all of a sudden the things that were affecting us spiritually are no longer affecting them spiritually. But
exactly.
As Brother Leon did say, it is real important that we go together as a husband and wife to go through deliverance, maybe not necessarily at the same time, but it is real important. So I really hope that if your wife is listening, that she listens to that calling of the Holy Spirit and that conviction that's come upon her and go through with it, and she'll see such a major change in her life. And all these curses that have been brought down to the family line will stop right there, and they'll be gone from your child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about generational curses, and my wife will tell you, I mean, if you understand her lineage and what's going on there, she definitely understands and believes that, and I think that's the first step toward, the first step is realizing that it's there, and then the next step is figuring, you know, knowing that we can do something about it and acting on that. So.
Pretty simple. It's just amazing how simple it is, and it is a fantastic testimony you've been given, brother. I know that at night Well, one night, you and I talked for quite a bit, and I could tell you were going to go through with it. I could see the conviction upon you, and I'm glad that you did. There wasn't much doubt in my mind that you were going to go through the deliverance process, and I had no idea all these things were affecting you, so that's even better, because it's all been a surprise to me about what you had happened beforehand and what's happened afterwards. So praise the Lord. Thank you for this testimony.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you that I think that, you know, there's definitely, you talk about soul ties, and we talk about, you know, spiritual strongholds. And considering now, after having been through deliverance and considering where I'd come from and the years of stagnation that I'd have had in between, you know, I think I was talking to Brad, if Brad's still there, you know, we were talking about how, you know, it's a good possibility you have no idea what's coming off or coming out with you, you know. And, excuse me, I think it's really important for the guys who are, you know, that receive the newsletters and who receive the testimonies, and even some of the guys that are able to listen to the program in prison, that they really get this point, that it's, you know, that there are spiritual forces that can affect us even as Christians if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, putting God first, walking in His power, believing what the Word says and doing what it says. You know, it's important for them to realize that they can do those things right there, you know, and help each other right there.
Yeah, they would have a heavy workload in there.
No doubt.
Well, gentlemen, we're winding up the last few minutes of the broadcast. Is there anything that either one of you like to add before we sign off this evening?
I would like to add this. One other piece of this testimony. I kind of held it back, and I didn't know if I was going to say anything. But you know, the gentleman that introduced me to this message, his name was David Crockett, and I had spoken about him a few times in Branson. And as my wife and I, my wife and I stayed a couple days in Branson after the retreat was over. And on the way back that night, about 1 a.m, we were driving back to Texas, and we were driving through Oklahoma, where Davey's from, and it just came really heavily on my mind that I needed to find him and reach out to him. And let me tell you about the circumstances and the events. Basically, we hadn't talked in 7 years. And I went to Branson, and I, you know, got in touch with God again, and put first things first. And all of a sudden, I was hearing from him, and hearing from him. And I truly believe that I was, because I tried to look him up on the internet, find out where he was in the Texas system, and I couldn't find him. As a matter of fact, it said he didn't exist. So I called the old unit, and they couldn't remember, or they couldn't tell me anything until, you know, the following morning during business hours. And I said, you know, I was going to give up, and it just, you know, got impressed upon me, you know, you need to write Davey. So I ended up figuring out his number, his TDCJ number, and I went to the website JPay that allows you to write inmates via email, and I put that number in, and all of a sudden he popped up in the system. Now, on Texas Criminal Justice website, you couldn't find him anywhere. But when I wanted to write him, when I overcame those obstacles and took a back door, I found him. So I wrote him a letter, and I told him, you know, the craziest thing has happened. I've just come back from an SFA event in Branson, and I am a changed man. You know, this trip to Branson has really affected me in a way that I can't even understand. And I told him that it all began with him, and you know, and I just let him know that, you know, there was at least one person whose life, you know, he's got a life sentence, whose life he had affected in a positive way, was out here doing well, and was, you know, moving in the right direction in his life. at the same time, got the phone hooked up so that he could call me. And he called me 2 days later, and he said, "Man, Robert, you're never going to believe this." He said, "I was, I've been going through some things, and my faith is, you know, I've been starting to think that, you know, maybe life was a whole lot simpler when I lived this way, and that maybe I should just give up." And he said, "I prayed to God that he would send me some kind of encouragement." And 3 minutes later, 4 minutes later, they called my name for mail call. Within minutes of the prayer, and I got your letter. And
praise the Lord.
I was able to help because I went, because of the work that the Lord did in Branson. I was able to help and be an answer to prayer for the very person that put me in touch with the Identity Faith and who helped me in my time of discouragement to find my direction again. And that was just a real honor.
Well, fantastic.
Run into him again,
gentlemen.
Maybe so. Maybe
gentlemen,
so.
Gentlemen, we're
out hoping
of time.
So. We're
thank
actually
for
praying for some things.
Brother, we are out of time, guys. Thanks so much.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. Like